League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Sunday Podcast. I'm Ollie Lum, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Seddon. We've hit a big milestone today, with it being our 10th episode, so we're very pleased to welcome Bowman Track Club's Mark Scott to the podcast.
Look, if you don't know Mark, get to know Mark, because he's probably the best 5K guy Britain have got after Mo Farah. Look, Mark had a stellar year in 2020. He ran PBs from 1500 all the way up to the half. He ran British records on the road as well in the 5K. He's a real people guy, club guy, supports the, you know, the amateur scene in running as well, just as the elites. We spoke to Mark about how he first joined the BTC straight out of college, what it's like training with one of the best groups in the world, and he also gave us an inside info on his plans this year for the Olympics. Enjoy.
Just before the pod starts, we just want to apologise if some of the sound quality is a bit off today. Mark's currently on a training camp in Flagstaff, and we were having some connection issues. We've edited out the worst bits, so hopefully you can hear the interesting things that Mark has to say. Enjoy.
Hello. Welcome to the pod, mate. Cheers for coming on.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Good man, good man. Look, we'll get straight to it, shall we? Let's start with 2020, the year you've just had. Obviously, no Olympics, but probably your best year to date, would you say so?
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Just nice to be given the opportunity to be able to race in a time where so many couldn't and still have access to facilities and stuff like that. So really, really grateful for that opportunity. And yeah, I just had to make it count regardless of what was going on in the world. Not to be selfish, but it's just we had to make the most of them opportunities when they came around.
Absolutely, man. Where were you at the start then? So when the first lockdown came, were you in America at that time?
Yeah, I was in America. I was there onwards from... Went out and did our usual camp in January in Colorado.
Yeah.
And then I just stuck around. I didn't leave until I was back in the UK in the summer.
Yeah. Back at the end of the summer, like, did you race indoors at all?
Just did indoors over here. Yeah, I didn't do anything back in the UK.
Yeah. Anyways, why do you think you had such a successful year this year then? Like, obviously it was the lockdown and stuff. You capitalized on the races you had, the ones you put on, but why do you think you almost like made a jump up, PB'd in pretty much every distance, didn't you? Road, track, 5K, 15, everything.
Yeah. I just got the more opportunities, and I think I've had 3 years at Bowman Track Club now, and that really does make a big difference. Just being consistent and not getting hurt. I was just getting hurt early on in when I was at this team to start with. So just being able to string a lot more together, put in some good sessions, good mileage. And like everyone says, consistency really is the key. And I think that was the biggest stepping stone moving forward into 2020. I just hadn't been hurt for a little while. Things had been going pretty well. Actually for us to do so.
Yeah,
it's interesting because obviously like you were lucky enough to get those like team races in with the BTC guys like you mentioned. What was the decision like to come back and race a bit in the UK as well? Because I think that's what most people like in the UK seem were quite excited to see, is that you came back and kind of showed up at a lot of the domestic races that were going on too.
Yeah, it's still very important for me to come home and race. I don't want to be like one of these forgotten guys who just stays in America and does everything out here. So we kind of just came to the conclusion we'd hit all these races. Typically on a Nike contract, you'd have 10 races you have to hit through the year. I was already well on my way to doing that. And I just spoke with Jerry and he kind of gave me the go ahead. I said, I want to attack the British record in the 5K. it's always good to do a championship, the British champs. So he was all right with that. And then the final one was the half marathon, which I didn't really tell him about. I just kind of got in and jumped in that last minute, probably 10 days before the race was to go ahead. So I like coming back and racing. It's good to see people in the UK. My family obviously like to see me race in the UK and stuff as well. So it's nice to keep in touch with people back at home.
Hey, let's talk about that, required amount of races you have to do with Nike. Because a lot of people were quite surprised this year. A lot of people outside of elite running, for example, they didn't know the ins and outs of the contract. And they saw, I know there's some random races in America, sprinters especially, doing like 15 second hundreds when they're capable of like a 10 second hundred. I don't know if you can share the details, but what's the penalty if you weren't to do 10 races, for example?
Yeah. It's different. It's different for everyone, but
yeah,
I know in some contracts you'll say if you don't hit 10 races, you can be reduced up to like 50%, for example. If you don't do 8 races, it might be you're going to be reduced 40%. So they're paying you to present them, and if not, giving them what they require and what they feel is worthy, then they can cut you, and well, not cut you, not reduce you if they want. It's not set in stone that you will, but on a year like we've just had, typically they're going to take them reductions because the companies are struggling, right? So that was another thing. It just gave me that opportunity to get more than 10 races in.
Yeah, here, man. Jeez, that's quite insightful, really, that they can... I think we were talking about a few episodes ago as well, weren't we, Lam? Like how... like fragile a runner's income is, that they can just, like you say, in 1 year, if they don't get 10 races in when they're fit and healthy, they can, you know, their contract can get reduced.
Yeah, I think it's interesting though, because obviously, like you said, Mark, at the end of the day, Nike's like is a business, and like any other job, it needs you to turn up and do those things. I don't know I agree with it to the extent that, like you say, Matt, some of the sprinters were just doing races for the sake of it. But I understand the concept of having the kind of minimum races and the minimum exposure, because it's not just about posting pictures on Instagram, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to add, like, you saw Paul Chelimo was doing the long jump, for example,
an event. Yeah.
Does that look good for Nike? Does it look bad? Is it like any exposure is good exposure? It's up to you to decide, but that's how strict they were kind of being with it. Who knows if people didn't get the 10 races, and some people might not have been reduced, but it's there. Yeah. So it's printed and you've signed it. So you should probably take care of it.
Man, it's interesting. You mentioned Paul Chelimo there, mate. You highlighting the Bauman conflict with Chelimo.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, let it live on a bit longer.
Oh yeah, I think me and Matt say it's stuff like that is good for the sport. Like, I think we need a bit more of that.
Want to see it, mate. We want to see it.
You do, yeah. We need it. It helps. We need
a bit more every time.
Yeah, let's. Mark, to be fair, you're actually the first athlete we've had on here who's actually involved in a group. So I want to talk about that. We want to talk about that a little bit. The sort of group dynamics and insight into Jerry and stuff. So, well, let's just start like how you got involved in the Bauman Track Club, coming out of one NCAAs with Tulsa. So we'll just start there, basically, how you came about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was always in the back of my mind when I was in college. Obviously, you know, the team environment in college in the US, high school even do it. Onto college, you join a team and then you just kind of build from there. And I felt like that environment really worked well for me. I didn't look to join a team where I was going to be like a one-man band and doing everything on my own. It's just not enjoyable. So I didn't even know if I was good enough to go pro when I was in college. Like, I didn't, like, after the NCAA title, you get opportunities coming. And it was always in the back of my mind, like, these were very good guys. Was I good enough to even train with them? And I just got approached by my agents who I signed with, who have heavily interested, like heavily linked up with Bowman. So I signed with them, and things were going well. And Jerry was interested. I remember I sent an email to Jerry when I was in college before NCAAs and stuff like that. And he's like, very interested, like pretty short email, just said he was interested. He's been kind of following my season and just wished me luck at NCAAs and stuff like that. I was like, all right, that's a good sign. Like, maybe if I run well, I could make the move and go forward. So it's just kind of little steps like that. Just always wanted to be in the team environment and sponsored by Nike as well. So,
Is it true? Is it true that everyone who joins reaches out themselves?
Probably not. No, I feel more the agent would come to you and say, Jerry or whoever's interested. I didn't know I was really just putting out there to a lot of groups.
See, man. Yeah, Lum, you were going to say something?
Yeah, just like, if you don't mind me asking, did you feel the pressure at NCAAs? Like, if you get kind of an email like that off Jerry Schumacher and he's kind of said he's interested, did you feel that pressure to perform in that respect in terms of, like, performing for a contract, or was it still just business as usual in terms of trying to do the best in terms of your running?
Yeah, it was more just, I obviously wanted to do the best for me so it would give a better outlook for a professional career, but I didn't feel any added pressure because of the email, no. It was just more, he's obviously noticed what I'd done leading up to that race, and it's not, we're not signing every national champion who comes out, so a lot of them have been national champions, but on the guy side, a lot of the guys never won an NCAA title. So it just goes to show that we're not just scooping up all the winners. So
yeah, 100%.
But yeah, to answer, I didn't really feel any added pressure as such.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, all the, obviously the way you guys train and stuff. You know, people look on. You're all kind of the same sort of athlete. Like, you hugely strength based, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. That's what Jerry looks for. For those guys in college, those guys who they've done the strength work, which carries over really well, but they're not burnt out and have not, like, maximized speed and things like that, where there's more to gain than to lose.
Just talking about, like, Bowman, how important was having that group environment last year in 2020? Because obviously you mentioned how that was something you really wanted, like the team aspects, and I can imagine for a lot of people, that's where they struggled with the season, was a lack of that. So how important was kind of BTC for you in having that successful season that we spoke about?
Yeah, really important. It's just, we didn't obviously do a full lockdown as such like the UK, but we did get split into smaller groups, which even just getting, like, split in, like, if I was told to go and do this workout, this session on my own, whereas it would be very difficult. Whereas I had another couple of guys who were in, like, small bubbles who we lived with and stuff like that, who we felt it was appropriate to train with. And we split around different tracks across the city of Portland. So we never, like, really ran into anyone and stuff like that. So even just that was really important going in before we went to altitude camp. Because if I wouldn't know where I was at if I was on my own. It's just never something I've enjoyed. So it was key going into those races, yeah, having teammates around me.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I was just gonna, like, you know, follow that up with, give us a little insight into what is Jerry like day to day. How much contact with you game? Because I know a lot of listeners out there, probably everyone's different. A lot of people like a lot of contact with their coaches. Like, we had, you know, Jake and Zach on, coaches, their dads, they have a lot of, you know, one-to-one time with their coaches within a group and stuff. You know, what's Jerry like to you? What's he like to the others?
Yeah, it kind of depends who you are. Not on a, like, a favoritism scale. It's more like, who needs more attention. So I'm literally most to the guys. We just get on and do our thing. We will see. We'll see Joe probably twice a week. Just at sessions, workouts. That's it. Like we're at altitude camp right now. We saw him yesterday for the first time in ten days since everyone left Poland. So we'll see him. We'd literally just see him at workouts, and that's it. He's pretty, in a sense, hands off. So we'll get a text the night before in our location time, and then we'll just see him at the workout. But if you need him, he's always there. He's always on the phone, so he's always pretty easy to get hold of if you need that extra contact.
Yeah.
But yeah, for those listening, very hands off. You don't really get a lot of interaction from him. If you need answers, then the best thing to do is just ring him up, and he 9 times out of 10, he won't pick up, and then he'll call you when it suits.
Yeah, some people can probably relate to that a lot, I guess. So in terms of, yeah, I guess that's how, in terms of what he's like as a person, what's like the training like? I know you might not be able to disclose too much because I know BTC might be quite, not secretive, but some of the stuff's obviously under wraps. Like, but if you wouldn't mind, or if you're able to just give us kind of an outline of what you kind of do on a week-to-week basis and maybe like a typical Jerry Schumacher workout.
Yeah. So maybe it's known that he's very, very strength orientated. So typical week would be, obviously, it depends if you're in the summer or the winter, the fall, whatever. So we've just come off like a heavy Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday cycle weekly. And then in between, you're just getting your normal mileage in. So he doesn't set us individual mileage. We just kind of run what we feel is appropriate. And if it's not enough, he will tell us to tack some on there. So normal, we'll have 3 gym sessions a week. On those days, we don't do workouts. So we'll do gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and do heavy sessions on Tuesday, Thursday. Saturday is just typical easy day, and then Sunday long run. Like hills and speed work, typically on a Tuesday. Thursday will be strength, and then hard run on a Sunday. Typical like fall, winter build up, cross country sort of stuff, you know.
Mate, it's interesting. He does sort of, like you say, he almost lets you decide what you do in between your session days.
A typical run is 70 minutes for us. The bachelor emails, I don't know if that's something you're familiar with, but typically the guys will, we don't run 7-minute pace, obviously, but that's how our mileage is planned. So at the end of the week, our mileage based on 7-minute mile, and a 70-minute run is 10 miles. But 9 times out of 10, we're running over probably 11 miles in that 70 minutes. Yeah. But on our match, the log we send, he likes a log every week. So every Sunday after the long run's done, we send him that. Like, you accumulate quite a few more miles. So like, just for example, just on Saturday gone, we had a long run, it ended up being 20 miles in 2 hours. And it only counts as 17 miles just because of the 7-minute miling sort of thing. Wow. So let's say a 90-mile week might actually be a 100-mile, a real mile week. Yeah. So,
mate, I remember.
But it's up to us.
I remember as well when you were down at St. Mary's training that one time. He doesn't count the recoveries either, does he?
No, recoveries don't count. It's only hard running.
So you'd be like jogging a recovery, and he'd be like, "Yeah, that doesn't count." So it's just which is just crazy as well. In your weekly mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember doing that with you.
I was just gonna also add, like, what's it like when you race against these guys? I guess you're a little bit fortunate in a situation where you're from the UK. So like you say, you go back to UK, you have your own national championships. But obviously you did race them in the summer, and you will continue to race them in summer at, you know, various meets, Diamond Leagues, and you obviously want to beat your teammates and win. How does Jerry deal with that? he's got five guys all going for maybe a title, the win, quicker time, you know what I mean, area records. How does Jerry deal with that, and how do you guys deal with it as well?
Yeah, it seems like the guys, there's not a lot of tension between the guys at all, and we're all kind of getting split out into different events. You might be a 5K guy, but actually he's actually pretty good at the 10, or he can do a steeplechase as well. So there is overlap, and you're always going to have that. And there's a bit of friendly banter within the group. Who's going to make Olympic teams? Who's not going to, and things like that. Just comments fly back and forth, but Jerry doesn't really mention it all. I think he kind of processes it in his head and tries to establish, okay, I think this guy is going to best fit in this event. And we've got these guys who will do better in another event, for example. So, like you said, it's nice for me coming home and not having to deal with any of that. And I'm not training on a daily basis with someone who might steal my Olympic spot, for example. I can't fully relate, just because obviously I'm not in the same situation as those other 12 guys on the team.
I know. I think it must be so hard, because, like you say, the events do overlap, and the tensions. But from you talking, and obviously from looking on as well, you do get the vibe. It is like a mature group, and you all just follow your own sort of path. You train within the group, but you know your own role, and there's no sort of tension there, which you would probably find in, like, I don't know, university teams, or when you're a bit younger, you're always trying to beat your teammates almost.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's no tension in the guys at all. Like, we just work hard to become the best we can become. And on that day, if you're the better man and you beat your teammate, then we congratulate each other like we would everyone else. But like, when we get on a start line with teammates, but we also, I think, kind of do forget about that a little bit. Like, in some, we all wanted to beat each other and run as fast as we could. So, but there's no hard feelings at the end of the day. We're out there jogging, cooling down, and things are just like they would be on a normal training run.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask about, like, those summer races. And I think what was great to see, like, looking on from the outside, was just how willing you guys all were to kind of take it in turns to who paced at the certain races. And it was almost like you had a focus of, these two guys are going to run really quick this week, and then in 2 weeks' time, we're going to focus on the other two and just help them out. And I guess that's just so nice to see in what is high-caliber sport, that top guys are helping top guys do well.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we train for, is to get the most out of ourselves. And with the, like, pacing assignments and stuff, have you said, Jerry got all that nailed down to a T, and he told us who was doing what and how far you were going to go and what paces to go. So he just knows from what we've been doing who will be able to handle what and how to maximize. We're actually on sometimes a 7 or 10 day racing schedule. So he's like, we're going to come off a race, run hard again in a workout, and then we're going to race again after that. So just writing different workouts for different people, knowing that they've got probably a hard pacing job coming up, and letting someone freshen up a bit to run quick in another given race. So yeah, it was good that we have the ability to do that with the amount of guys, and a lot of the guys obviously are training at a similar ability. So that was really nice. But yeah, we were simply got given instructions. Mark, you're going to take the first 2K or whatever at this pace, and then you can drop off, do whatever you want for the rest of the race, or you can just stop. So
he is incredible at guessing the times that you guys run. Doesn't he, like, always, he's renowned for, like, predicting your time by, like, a couple seconds. Stupid.
Yeah, he was pretty good at that. Especially with Mark. He says, if our pace job was at 3K, which it was, he said, I think you'd be able to run off squeeze. And that's obviously exactly what I did, 12:47. So, and that's just a little high school track in Portland. So we can,
I know,
if he can do that there, then there's obviously a bigger thing to come. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, the Olympics is going to be really good to watch.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about the Olympics.
Let's hope it goes ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always that. Let's but if we kind of assume it is going ahead.
Good.
What are the plans for you this year? Because obviously, like, the big year's been moved, but you've already had a big year that you can, I guess, stack on. So what are the plans for yourself kind of individually now?
Yeah, so at the minute, I think the plan I can announce on here, I guess I'm going to look to do a 10K around the 20th of February. Location and stuff not yet determined, but that's the tentative plan, is to knock out the big standard 10. Late one time that we did as a team. I want to double up at the Olympics. Already got the 5K standard, so I'll have to do. I want us in Highgate because I've never done that before yet, and do the 10K trials there. So that's the goal, would be to go and seal my Olympic spot in the 10K, providing everything goes well. And then if I have to do the 5K trials, I don't think I need to, but it's nice to come home and race and hopefully get another win there. So going to look to double up and make two Olympic finals. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, my follow up was going to be, do you ever see yourself like moving up distances? But yeah, it's interesting you say that. Like, why the choice to double? I guess just from your personal perspective.
I mean, just if I get standards, why not maximize that potential at the Olympics? Who knows if I'll ever make an Olympic team again? So I just. So if I can do it, then why not? And I think the 10K is my stronger event, and just any experience you can get doing a 10K, because I'm not very frequent, will lead to good things in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, cheers for sharing those plans.
We were going to say as well, we've spoken about, we'd love to see you do the 5K at the champs.
We'd love it, mate. You and Bouchard with the battle.
Yeah, that's the plan. It'd be nice. It's all go ahead right now, so I don't see why not.
But what about then? So obviously, yeah, if you want to do the 5 and the 10 Olympics, do you see yourself kind of moving up to, obviously you ran that really quick half. Do you ever see yourself going even further and going up towards like the road distances at some point in your career?
Yeah, I definitely do 100%. I would kind of off road stuff as well, so. And I do think that's where I probably am a slight better athlete on the road. So I don't want to like commit to a marathon, for example, and maximize and take the gradual steps onwards, do a lot of stuff like that before I'd move up. But ultimately, I do see my career going onto the road at some.
Yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes people who know that they're eventually going to end up in a marathon, they sometimes almost rush it a little bit. Like they rush their track time. They only give themselves a few years on the track because they know inevitably they're going to the marathon. But like you say, it's good. Man, I'd like to see you on the track for a good few more years, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I want to stay on the track as long as it allows me to. It's just obviously a lot harder on the body, but...
Yeah.
Like you say, all these marathon guys who are running well, they've all had great careers on the track. So that kind of just tells me that stay on the track kind of as long as you can and then you can make your jump.
That's it, man.
Mm. Got any plans for any more 1500s? So I think you revised the PB last year. So I guess like we always kind of see you like with good finishing speed, like even on the cross. So like that 15 as well, like we were saying before, you kind of shown your range really in 2020. So is that something you look into getting another fast 15, or is it just more of a training tool?
Yeah, it's just a training tool to like hand out that fast a little bit more, just to make the pace feel a bit easier. When it comes around, I wouldn't turn my nose up at it though. So I'd like to jump in another one if I get the opportunity. Whether it's, I just think it's good experience too.
Yeah, mate. Bit of a jokey question. Who's your... What's the quickest 4x4 team Bauman can produce?
Good question, actually. I don't know if you saw the kind of like pop 4x4s we did.
Yeah, we did see them.
It was, summer, I definitely wouldn't have Chris like, Derrick in my team, mate.
It was mixed.
Right.
As well. Sean McGaughty.
Yeah.
Grant Fisher. Josh Thompson. Set of three, and then the fourth and the fourth spot. There's two guys who are like coming straight away. Obviously, Centrowitz is there, but we've also got Lopez who would probably get the nod.
Wow! So Sean McGaughty, Grant Fisher, Lopez, and
Josh Thompson. He said
Josh Thompson.
JT.
Yeah.
Josh Thompson. Wow. Yeah.
It's interesting how fast Lopez is. Like, obviously, he's come from that kind of 800 background, but the way he's managed to carry it, like now doing 10K is probably his best event now. Like, the way he still carries that speed is crazy.
Yeah, he's a freak, mate.
Mark, I just want to sort of rewind, actually. Because I meant to ask you when we were talking about, like, when you joined Bauman. So you're joining Bauman as, like, just coming out of college. And you're joining with, like you say, the likes of Lopez, you know, Evan Jaeger, you know, Mohamed, like world beaters, almost on the world stage. What was it like just fitting in that first sort of 6 months, just fitting in there?
Yeah, it was tough because I didn't really follow. It wasn't like a nerd or so back the. I'm not saying it either, didn't things like that, but it was a big transition. But you wouldn't, there's not a big ego around the group as such. The guys just get to work every day. And I think that's why they are so good, because they kind of leave the egos behind and just train hard. So that's really, it kind of was easier to fit in that sense. But I was like, some days you're getting your ass kicked and you're like, yeah, there's no wonder these guys are this good. And it was a bit of a transition, just try to maximize my potential and also not get injured.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there a period where you kind of thought, like you say, you said you struggled with injuries at the start almost. Was there a period where you thought, crikey, maybe, you know, Jerry's training is not for me?
Yeah, I've definitely had that thought a few times. Getting a stress fracture, and you're in the pool and you're thinking, mate, why am I doing this? But there's a happy balance somewhere to be found, I think, with every coach and athlete. And like you say, Jerry doesn't assign mileage, so we've got to kind of bring it up on ourselves to figure out what's best for us and not get caught with what anyone else is doing.
Yeah, I like that.
What's that like dynamic like with deciding the runs? Do like you as the guys kind of talk about it and say, "Oh, we're going to do this," or is it very individual?
Yeah, I guess so. The typical, obviously, the 7 minute thing, like everything stemmed around that, and then you always round it up. So the shortest run would basically do is a 35 minute, which is normally your double, or a 50 minute. Which would be 7 miles, 49 minutes, then you add a minute to get to 50. Or you do 10 miles, which is 70 minutes on, and then you can throw in a double on an evening if you wish. That's kind of how I was brought into the group, how it was done, and
yeah,
it still is like that today.
And you just, I remember when we ran in Colorado, you just sort of decide, you know, some would do 35 minutes, some would do 50, some would do 70, wouldn't they? Just varying on the day almost.
Yeah, yeah. Just if you're wrecked from the day before, you can go and do a 50 minutes, you know, or you can do a 35 and then think, yeah, I'll do two 35s instead of 170, for example, just to space it out a bit.
Yeah, so you just take care of yourself and then Jerry takes care of the hard workouts. Sweet, man. I don't know. We covered quite a lot. Lum, do you want to add anything, mate?
Maybe just like if you obviously we like spoken a lot about you and the group and things, but if you could like sum up just what it's like to be a member of BTC, because I think that's what it's probably one of maybe the most famous group like in the world right now, or definitely kind of the hottest group in the world right now. So what is it like to be part of that team, if you could like sum it up in like a couple of sentences for us?
Yeah, well, first thing I'll say, it's honestly like an honor, and I'm very privileged to be here. Obviously, you have to have the ties with Nike as well before you can become a member. So, but yeah, I'm just grateful for, it's not obviously not just the guys, there's a whole back staff who do a lot of work and people don't see that, but it's nice to be recognized as a big group. And like you say, one of the best groups in the world. So of course it's a privilege to be included in that sort of stuff. Very grateful to be putting the hard work in with another 12 guys every day.
I think that's it, man. It's interesting to see, like, the ones, you know, especially in the longer distances, it's like the ones, you know, you've got the Kenyans, they're just renowned for training in packs. And then the same with the likes of yourselves, the success of BTC. And then we're starting to see, especially in America, like I was talking the other day, how we're starting to see more and more groups sort of form in America slowly. So I'd love to see it in like 5-10 years. You almost do have like battle of training groups dotted all over the place in America and in the UK.
Yeah, I just think that's it. Like there's such a lack of it in the UK. Everyone's got their own piece where they think they fit best. But if you come together and bounce ideas around different coaches and come together, I think there can be a big run in. It'd be nice to see. And it's just, I don't know, everyone's just a bit kind of tied up and don't want to share what they do, for example, or don't want to link up with anyone else. But that's what's going to drive the sport and get the most out of the British athletes, I feel.
I totally agree, mate. Like, I do find, like you say, in the UK, everyone is a little bit tied up. They're all almost a little bit too proud to like change or fit in with someone else. And they're all, you know, no one's really training in big groups these days. Everyone's training in like ones and twos, and you know, someone might be doing 10 fours one day. Someone else is doing like say 15 twos and they're like, nah, my session's 10 fours, you know, when they could have the opportunity to just run with someone else for a session or run with a couple of people. You know, it is a bit like that in the UK. I don't know why, but it seems like slowly but surely we are getting out of that sort of single individual mindset.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it. People just need to kind of look at the Kenyan groups, for example, and there's reasons why they all train together. They don't go out running on their own. Like, that's just not a thing. You're there to kind of bring one another on, and it's going to bring yourself as well. So, It'd be nice to have like, yeah, I understand everyone's got their own coaches who they're fixated on, but if you get, like, for example, the head of endurance, obviously the interviewing for the conditioner this week, and it'd be just nice for someone who can be like, look, this is what we're lacking. And in order to move forward, it'd be great to have 10 guys, 10 girls who can get together on a daily basis and make something work.
Oh, mate, that is so interesting you said that, because Hookway was saying last week how, you know, that he was talking about that head of endurance role and sort of communicating to distance runners. And like, it would be, you know, to add to what Hookway was saying last week, if I say the head of endurance just said, look, top 20 guys, let's just all go in, you know, like Kenya used to do month-long training camps and they would all do the same work. And I do know there is an element of, you know, you need to adapt your training specifically to individuals, but at the same time, like I say, easy running. You should just be going out in groups of 10, because it makes, like, when you go for 10 miles, Mark, how much easier is it when you're doing it with 10 guys instead of on your own? 10 miles is like a chore.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I remember when you were intending to.
Yeah, that was it this morning. Like, there was.
Yeah, go on, mate.
Yeah, sorry. It was just like, just the group this morning, for example, we had last night, and just getting out the door, being able to meet guys in the morning and have one another to laugh and joke around with for 10 miles. It's a lot better than going and slog it on your own, you know.
So, and I remember in when you were training in Teddington as well, in a couple of summers back, how welcoming you, that's when I sort of first got to know you as well, how welcoming you were for other people around you. I was like, this guy's like Bauman, he's not going to want to, you know, muck about with anyone. But you didn't care, you know, whatever, you were sort of like dragging out like four or five people, you know, whatever ability. And I, you know, I thought that was quite interesting that you sort of knew that the company is worth something.
Yeah, and that's just the way I've always been, obviously surrounded by a team since I came to the US. So I think it really helps. And it's just like, even when like Zach and yourself and stuff were in Colorado, for example, there was,
yeah,
I remember looking back at some, there was probably 25 guys running together. And that's just kind of like why you were there. That's why we were there, just to all better ourselves and come together. So I think it really resonates. Like people need to understand like that is the way forward.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to add anything to that, Lam?
No, I think it's just like really nice to see. And I think it almost reflects a lot of people's like junior success. Cause I think you talk about like the groups in the UK and as seniors, everyone's very kind of hush hush. But you see these guys, like these kids running really fast, under 17s, under 15s. And that's because they're just going out with their mates and getting some hard training in together. And then once they get older, people start being a bit more secretive, a bit more, we're going to all train solo. Whereas what you've got, obviously, with Bauman, seems like it, obviously, you're doing it at a very high level, but it's just a group of guys with similar aspirations who just want to work hard every day. Oh.
Damn, the boy's gone. Kicked. Well, anyway, we'll just wrap it up.
Apologies, guys, like for any like issues with the connection. We're kind of dotted around all over the world at the moment. Big things going down, but I hope you like enjoyed the podcast, and it was like great to have like an insight into Mark and into the BTC, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for, if you've got this far and you've seen out the end, guys, thanks for just bearing with. Like I say, Mark's in Flagstaff and Lum's at home and I'm in Dubai. So, yeah, doing it over Zoom was a little bit, you know, tricky, but
I've got the best here in Cardiff. The weather's great.
Yeah, so, but no, mate, some interesting points Mark was saying. And let's just talk about that little group thing, but just to add to that. Because I know Mark, you know, Hookway was saying about that last week, the head of endurance. I would love to see this sort of governing body admit that it is trickier than like it sounds, though, because like you say, it does take to get the best out of athletes. It's really hard.
And also, you can't just like, you don't want to just like take away athletes from their coaches who have like made them successful in the first place.
But what they could do is, no one's taking, you know, athletes away from their coaches. The athlete is still being coached, for example. However, it would just take a slight bit of communication to relay back and forth to the endurance coach. For example, if the endurance coach said, look, we're going to stick you 20 guys in the same place for a month and train you up, say like April, we're going to train you up pre-summer and hopefully you just all have good seasons. All right. And you just go, you go run in the same place, for example. All right. It can be abroad, wherever, or even in the UK, because the group factor would just be like a massive input. All right. And coaches would communicate with the head of endurance coach. And they would say, look, can we all make sure we session on a Tuesday? Can we all make sure we session on a Thursday or a Friday? And can we all make sure we do a long run on a Sunday? Something like that. Okay. Like Mark was saying then. And then that means you're all pretty much easy running. You know, the days away from workouts, you can easy run with guys, you know, distance guys will always run away from workouts pretty much anywhere between, like Mark was saying, 6 to 10 miles, probably, you know, the longer guys, maybe a little bit more. But everyone, and let's be honest, these guys would be elite or just sub elite. They would all pretty much run probably the similar paces on easy runs.
If you take that many guys anyway, there's always going to be a few who are doing the same. So it doesn't
matter. How much of a benefit would that be? Start on a Monday, boom, meet at
10 o'clock, 20 of you go for a run. Tuesday's a track. And then you would just, like you say, the coaches would almost all communicate with each other. They would talk to the head of endurance and just say,
well, it's exactly what they do in camp before champs. Like when they,
They, you know, they do, you know, I find it,
do it more often. And the thing is, I mentioned juniors, and like you get it because like futures do it, which looks like it's like great. And like mini, not mini marathon, is it mini marathon camp? You know, they want some Aries,
I know the one you're talking about,
the camp where they get them in for the weekend, and but like that on a senior level, basically. And I don't know why they think it's all just juniors that should be doing. I mean, it's great that juniors do it. Gives them like a taste of it. But I think, you could definitely have that more on a senior scale as well.
Like Mark was saying last week as well about how, you know, the reason so many of his athletes have stayed in the sport is that group factor. They've all come together and they're still in it now. They're friends today. And it's, you know, that's the same with me. That's the same with you, isn't it, mate? Like the reason you're still in sport is because of that group factor. You will get the odd person who is just a completely lone wolf and they thrive in that scenario. Lum's pointing at himself, people.
I like both. Like, I definitely like chatting to people about training and things like that.
Even if you are a lone wolf, and even if you know that, you know, that's the best how you are as an athlete, if you know that when you do an easy run, you want to like just to carry you through an easy run.
I love linking in with people,
and it also sometimes just takes your mind off how you're feeling instead of being like, gosh, I feel dreadful today. So it would be good if something like that. So if anyone is listening, me and you might just have to take
action. Might be a role, mate. We could do like Step Brothers. We'll apply together.
Step Brothers, great film.
That's my recommendation for the week.
I'd love to know the qualifications.
I think that wraps us up, mate. We'll stop stealing people's Sunday long run time. We'll see. I don't know how far abouts they're in now. Approaching 7 miles, maybe. Some people, it depends. Let us know. Like, if what sort of mileage you're getting in for this podcast.
Yeah. Let's start getting some feedback,
because then we can get an average, and then we can start being like, oh, mile five.
Mile five, yeah. Instead of saying we're 30 minutes in, we'll just say, look, we're on mile five now, guys.
Yeah, I want to find the average long run pace of our listeners.
Yeah. All right, mate.
Yeah. Right.
Lovely. Well, cheers for listening, guys. Take care.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.